Mac Holmes pre-game interview.
Saturday Twilight Football from the MCG. We're in Footy Spotlight thanks to Rex Gorrell. Check out these brands: Skoda, Audi, Ford, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mini, Peugeot, Skoda, Subaru. We came up in Nealty's Subaru, the Chariot, the Rex Gorrell Chariot, Volvo and VW. You'll find them on the lots, of course, across Fine Street in South Geelong and Gordon Avenue in Geelong West. Great pleasure to have for the first time on K-Rock Football as part of our commentary in season 2021, the president of the Geelong Football Club for Harmac Holmes. A very good afternoon to Craig Drummond. Craig, welcome to K-Rock Footy for the first time.
Afternoon, Kingy. Thanks very much for having me.
Been a big week for the club. Let's touch on the big announcement that came on Monday, and that was that Steve Hocking would replace Brian Cook as CEO at the end of the season. Smart money might have said that that was a potential appointment, but when did it all come to light that Hock was your preferred candidate and would be the man to fill some very big shoes?
Look, we ran a process with Egon Zehnder probably over the last 3 or 4 months, and we gathered probably slightly more than 10 high-quality candidates and spoke to those folks. And it was probably in the last, and I think Steve said this publicly, probably the last couple of weeks of that process that we were very confident, getting more confident that we could secure Steve. And that was probably the desire of the board, to secure Steve, but we did have some very, very good candidates and one particularly good internal candidate. So we feel the club's well set going forward with Steve leading and a number of high-quality individuals inside the footy club.
Yep. How big a decision is it for the footy club? You know, you replace coaches, you've come in as president. Geelong have been so stable coaching-wise, I think 5 coaches in 35 years, and president-wise it was, you know, Ron Hovey into Frank into Colin into yourself, CEO obviously Brian since late 1998. Where does this sit in terms of on the scale of major decisions for the Geelong Football Club?
I think any organisation, whether it's a not-for-profit or a for-profit, Tom would say that the board's primary role is to select the CEO and to manage and unfortunately occasionally remove the CEO if it doesn't work out. But so I think recruitment of CEO and getting the right person is probably the most important thing a board would do.
Yep. The benefit of Hock having been inside at the AFL, is that something that comes into play when you're making the appointment? Gee, we've got somebody who's got some really good intel about, you know, the operations internally of, you know, of headquarters.
Well, I think it's probably 3 or 4 things when we looked at Stephen in particular. One is the calibre of the individual, the culture and the values that Steve, we've seen him demonstrate those in the period that he's been at Geelong. He was in the Geelong Footy Club in non-footy or non-playing roles for about 14 years. So we had a pretty good line of sight on the type of person he is. So he's got great footy knowledge, clearly. He's run our commercial department for a few years, so we understand, and he understands the commercial imperatives of running a footy club. But as you say, he's got that insight and relationship that he's built in inside the AFL.
Craig, every leader has their own style. How would you describe your style of leadership? There's some very different machinations within AFL in terms of the presidency. How would you describe your style?
Ben, it's a good question. Look, from my perspective, I'm a great believer in employing the best possible people for the roles and then letting them get on with it. So you won't see me as a significant, you know, I won't be looking for a press profile, for example. I think the press should be typically handled by the chief executive of an organisation. And occasionally if it becomes big, reputational, or about the CEO, then the chair or the president does occasionally need to get up. But from my perspective, that's my philosophy. Hire great people, let them get on with it. Of course, manage them, hold them to account, and I believe in making decisions. I'm not someone that's just going to sit around and think that we should just manage in an inactive way, so I will be active in helping and supporting in a very collaborative way our executive.
It sounds like a sort of a Peggy O'Neill style. She seems to have adopted that. She really only speaks if she really needs to, and sometimes until Richmond reached the point where they were winning premierships, I think it infuriated some Tiger fans that she wasn't a very visible public figure. The Cats are a bit of a different kettle of fish given the success that they've had. It's a really interesting time at the footy club. You've got some, you know, they're pressing for flags each year. And a lot of these guys playing today won't be here, though, in 3, 4, 5 years. It's an older demographic. So there's going to be significant change, I'd imagine, with the personnel on the field, and then they'll assume that flows to off the field. So it's probably an exciting time, and the immediate is that the premiership is on the radar, but behind the scenes there's going to be things happening.
Don't get me wrong, Ben. I genuinely believe that leadership in an organisation, whether it's the chair, the CEO, needs to communicate with members, customers, however you want to. In a footy sense, it's members. So we can't be silent, and there will be strong communication out to our members and our customers to understand our stakeholders, to understand what we're doing and what our view is. But I think you can go too far as well.
For Harmac Holmes, we're speaking with Geelong president Craig Drummond on K-Rock Football. He's Mark Neild.
Craig, just as an extension to Ben's question, football clubs, you talk about transparency a lot, and you speak to the general members or the general people that will come along here this afternoon, and they often wonder, what does the chair of the board, what does that actually look like in terms of the relationship, communication between chair of the board, you've got the CEO, you've got the GM of footy, and you've got the coach? We hear some football clubs, and I don't want you, no need to compare, that the president would often talk about what the coach is doing. So in terms of the Geelong Football Club, to the Geelong listeners, how's that going to work with you?
Again, that is an extension of the question that was just asked by Ben, but I believe, Mark, in employing, as I said, great people that are very clear on what their role is, and we're very clear with them as a board. We're very clear with the CEO what our expectations of the CEO are, and then the CEO is very clear with the head of footy and the coach what their expectations are. So from my point of view, look, I've been involved, I've been passionate about AFL footy for 60 years. 59 years. I'm 60 years of age. I probably wasn't passionate in the first 12 months, but the reality is, I think football and the football department is the area for the coach, for the head of football, and for the CEO as and when required, not regularly for the chairman. Yeah. If I'm invited into the football department for a view or whatever, I think I'm very happy to give it, whether it's career advice to young men post-footy and those sort of things. But I don't believe that I should be in list meetings or those type of things. That's for the footy people. We try and employ the very best people to make those decisions.
From a board perspective, the football industry, it just reflects what's going on in the general world. It evolves all the time, and there's lots of changes. And with changes, particularly in the world that we're currently in, there's a number of challenges. So from the perspective of the board of the Geelong Football Club, what are some of the challenges that you perhaps have now, but you can also foresee, not only for Geelong, but for the AFL over the next couple of years?
Well, where do we start? COVID's obviously been one of the big challenges, and the fact that we've had crowds that are significantly down on where we probably expected at the start of this year. You know, it was looking quite favourable at the start of the year, and we thought maybe we'd get 50-75% average crowds. Well, that's not fully eventuated. So that has flow on impacts into the commercial outcomes. And I think as a club, and I think as a competition, that's been pretty well managed. And I do think we have to give some credit. Everyone's always bagging the AFL, but we have to give them some real credit for what they've done in managing to keep the competition going and giving so much joy to Australians that, frankly, you think about, there's 12 million people locked down at the moment. Yeah. Many of them are in New South Wales. And I was just talking to a mate of mine in Sydney. He was just saying how he can't wait to the Geelong-Carlton game this afternoon. And that's the sort of joy we're getting. But look, there's, in terms of longer-term trends, there's plenty. I think digital and how we're interacting with young Australian fans, I don't think, I think we've got a lot of work to do as an industry on that. I think the length of the game, it's often debated. 15, 20, 30-year-old boys and girls, men and women, prepared to spend 4 hours at the footy. I think we've got a lot of competing pressures. So, personally, I was quite attracted to the game length last year. And I know there's people on both sides of that argument, but I think we do need to understand when people come into the ground, if we're going to hold them here for 4 hours, how else do we entertain them? And I think there's too big a gap in the day, whether it's halftime, whatever, where or even during the game, where we're not entertaining fans at the extent that some younger people expect.
Inside the Geelong Footy Club, when we hear, or sorry, externally when we hear people from the footy club talk, whether they be a board member, whether they be a part of the commercial team, whether they're an administrator within the football department or the coach themselves or the player, it sometimes is the envy of a number of other AFL clubs. You all speak about the same values and you talk about the same behaviours, which is, that's just outstanding. How is that actually achieved? Because we hear a number of other clubs, someone might say something and then another person says something that's slightly different and you think, well, there's not a lot of alignment there. So the footy club's famous really for that within the AFL industry.
I think it comes back to the most important thing in most organisations is recruiting great quality people. And sometimes we make mistakes with people, whether it's on field or off field, and you have to recognise those mistakes and take corrective action, either further education or sometimes removing those people. But, you know, I think you look back at Cookie, Frank, Costa, then perpetuated by Colin Carter, and hopefully in the current regime as well, that we can recruit, retain, train great people.
You a Geelong boy, Craig?
I'm not, Ben. No, I'm a Leon Gatha boy in Gippsland. So country boy. Mum was a Geelong supporter, and she took me to the Big Smoke in Melbourne and said, we're going to buy a jumper today. You've got two choices. Your dad barracks for Carlton, and I barrack for Melbourne, for Geelong. I reckon Geelong would be a pretty good decision for you to take that Geelong jumper down there.
Mid-90s, you mightn't have been thinking.
I wasn't thinking mid-90s. I was thinking 1966.
Yes. So you've picked the winner.
Well, 95 wasn't a highlight.
No.
Yeah, I think, look, I love the club. I love what it stands for. It's also the regional, as a regional organisation, it does feel like a bit more like home to me.
And who's your favourite player? Come on, you've got to have a favourite.
Well, Ben, you try not to have favourites.
Well, that's what mums say, but they always do.
Well, let me just say, Tommy Stewart has been outstanding over, certainly this year, but the last four years, hopefully third All-Australian this year. Mm. But it's pretty hard to go past Joel Selwood. Just the inspiration as a leader. Whenever... I can't remember how many times when Geelong, the game's there to be won. Real leaders, when something's on the line, real leaders actually pick it up by the scruff of the neck and get you over the line. Doesn't matter what it is in life, and Joel has done that so many times.
He's been very good at it.
He's
having a great year too, which is great because his body's probably at full 100% capacity and it's showing out on the field, which is great for Cat fans because he's, what, 32, 33?
Just turned 33.
Yeah, so he's in the twilight of his career. So it's been fantastic for Geelong fans. I'm sure
Burgoyne,
they're enjoying it.
Wasn't Sean Burgoyne's 38, isn't he? So yeah. I think Joel's still got a few years ahead of him.
Wow, that'd be extraordinary if Joel's still going at 38.
Cookie has spoken through all this COVID scenario that there would be Excel spreadsheets for numerous scenarios and the financial ramifications of crowds and the like. Have you got a view on what the result will be financially this year for the Cats?
Yeah, it'll be still a decent result, be a profit. Tom, that's our expectation, subject to what happens in the last 6 or 7, 8 weeks. And we could only get there because of the strength of membership and sponsors. You know, we've been targeting membership this year of 70,000 members. We went through a record. Our previous record was around 66,000. Mm. And I'm extremely confident we'll get to 70. We're very close to it.
Okay. And with a surname like Drummond, you're a golfer?
I am a golfer.
Yeah, so where do you apply your trade with the sticks?
At the moment, probably mainly at the National golf course.
Okay.
And
horrible track.
Horrible track.
You've got plenty of balls there. You pop in there. You can lose plenty there.
They've fixed up one of, well, I think fixed up, some people would say bastardised, but I think fixed up one of the courses down there now. It's called the Gunnamatta, and it's just beautiful, Ben. And so if you're a little wide off the stick, left or right,
you're right.
You're still okay.
Yes, okay, that's what we like.
Yep.
Yeah, bit of room.
We do.
Yep. Machinations is a word, Benny, I think, used a little bit earlier, and the machinations of coaching this week were very much at the forefront. And we spoke off air about the Alistair Clarkson handover to Sam Mitchell came to light about the same time. The Cats were announcing Steve Hocking's appointment. Craig's his brother. Steve's appointment. Chris Scott's out of contract at the end of next year. Have those conversations started, or is that something that might be fast-tracked in light of the emerging situation, the Collingwood job being vacant, the Hawthorn situation as well?
What I'd say is, look, Chris is, and I know, I don't understand why some people have a different view. Chris has been outstanding. 70% win-loss record. Interestingly, today I think there'd only be one player playing today that was on the list when Chris walked in. That'd be Tom Hawkins. I think last week Joel was there, so it was two. So the list has been completely turned over, and yet through all of that period, all of Scotty's period, I think we've missed finals 1 year only in that 10-year period. So it's extremely impressive. Obviously, the contract is not, there's nothing urgent about the negotiation. And I'd expect Steve Hocking will have a good say in that. So a fair bit of water to pass under the bridge, Kingy, but I think the club is very much indebted, and members should be indebted to the work that Chris has and continues to do. For a great fan.
You come into the club at an exciting time, Stage 5 to start at the end of the year, and a list that continues to contend. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time this afternoon, and we wish you all the very best of luck as president, however long that tenure may be. Based on the previous 10 years of Frank and Colin, we'll probably be talking to you for the next decade.
Maybe not. We'll just wait and see. I'm also keen to make sure we've got a really strong board, so to make sure that people on the board or any new candidate that we happen to have over the next few years has an opportunity. I won't be, from my perspective, I won't be a very, very long-term chair. I believe in giving people an opportunity. Make your mark and give other people an opportunity.
Too much golf to be played, Craig.
Something like that, Ben. I think organisations, by refreshing them on a regular basis, this is my personal view, by refreshing them on a regular basis, you give the best chance for the organisation to succeed. But good call in today, boys. Tom, thanks for the opportunity.
Where are you watching, Craig? What are you be sort of having, the Wagyu beef or the chicken? Or
I'm at the Carlton President's Function.
Enemy territory.
Enemy territory, but they're always very hospitable, the folks at Carlton. But up in the Olympic room, I think, right. Ben.
Well, hopefully the Cats can get the chockies. What's your tip? Cats by how many?
Well, I don't typically tip other than saying the Cats will win.
Okay.
That is my expectation and hope, Ben.
That's it.
That'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough game.
Craig, really appreciate your time. Good luck today.
Thanks very much,
Good on
Tom.
You, Craig.
Craig
thanks,
Drummond.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Mark.
Craig Drummond joining us there, the new president of the Geelong Footy Club. Thanks to Harmac Holmes. We'll take a break. Back shortly. Live, breathe. K-Rock Football.
The Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.